Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time again, another episode of Sports Card Live. We take a magnifying glass to the sports card industry, news, reviews, thoughts, the occasional tangents, and free stuff. Hosted by Dan Rage, Ryan, and Doug Fresh. Boom!
Rippers and sports nuts, welcome to another edition of Sports Card Live. I didn't even know if I was going to remember how to do this. It's been so long. Man, welcome to 2014. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. NFL playoffs full swing. We're going to do a review kind of segment, cheers and jeers for 2013, NBA, NFL, NHL, and MLB. Kind of a condensed version of what was good, what was bad. Little titanium releasing in Canada. Maybe we can get in some innovations for 2014. Maybe we even have a free speech segment. So we'll see what's going on. I'm joined by Ryan and Dan. What is up, Dan? How you doing?
Pretty good. Just I was expecting Stains. It's been a while. It was like the intro, not the old intro, but Stains. It's been a while because it's been a while.
Well, I was going to do the boys are back in town kind of thing, but I thought that might be a little kind of weird, so I didn't do that. And yeah, it's been a while. It would have been a little fitting song. So, Ryan, what's going on, buddy?
How are we doing? You know what I want to know from the last show we did? Dan, are you still drinking coconut water?
I am. That sounds good for you. It really hydrates you. It gets me ready for my day. That and a little bit of coffee, but absolutely, it's my kick. You know, I figure since I hang out in Santa Cruz, I might as well. If you can't beat them, join them.
That was an underrated statement, you know, from the last show that we did, because he kind of dropped that, and then I literally wanted to have a 20-minute conversation about coconut water and his, you know, why he's doing it. So I figured since we've had a little bit of time. You know, it's good to know that you're still doing. I'm gonna Google it and
dude,
it's like
sticking a straw into a coconut. That's what it says on the box, actually.
Well, we have a hot question in the chat regarding that, Dan. Now, do you drink coconut water quickly or do you nurse it?
Oh, I nurse it, man. I sip it. Dude, you can't just pound it. You gotta enjoy it. You gotta let the electrolytes flow through your body.
Do you still wear shoes to work now, or?
They're made of hemp, of course. I mean, you know. Because if I ever needed, you know, smoke something, I could take a little piece of my shoe and, you know, get down.
There you go. Well, you know, tomorrow's a pretty big release day with Prizm NBA Jumbo coming out. I mean, what do you guys think about them kind of, you know, waiting to unload some Jumbo until pretty much Prizm Regular came out? I guess Prizm, is that the name for it? Prizm Regular? Prizm Hobby? Prizm Hobby NBA. Prizm Hobby came out. Then they released that they're going to, you know, make this 4,000 box run of Prizm NBA. I mean, what are your thoughts? I'm thinking it's going to be a great success, but I mean, what do you think the strategy behind releasing the Jumbo a little bit later is?
You want to, yeah, me or Ryan?
Whoever wants to step up to the plate.
Well, they did it with football, right?
They released it around the same time, so this one was
they released it at the same time. It's a little weird. The delay is a little weird. It's like, maybe they didn't have the print run done quite yet for it. I know they're running some different parallels in there. Get ready for there to be Jumbo everything. You've seen how well the Bowman Jumbo is done, the flagship Jumbo is done. I think you're going to see any set that comes out that is base heavy, you're going to start seeing Jumbo versions of it because they sell so well.
Yeah. Well, and in this version of it, there's more color, so, and there's actually better box odds. So it's looking like it's pretty promising.
Also, another thing, if they released say they did NBA and they were pre-selling it, and they were pre-selling Jumbo and they were pre-selling Hobby at the same time. Well, what would happen? Everybody would order the Jumbo and nobody would order the Hobby. So if they do it to where they release the Hobby and then after all the pre-orders are done and they start shipping it out, they're like, oh yeah, by the way, we have Jumbo. But they already got you on the hook for the Hobby. So they don't have to worry about moving the Hobby. Now they know everybody's going to eat up the Jumbo.
Well, and they did this as an exclusive to the distributors, so people that went direct weren't able to get this, so you had to buy it from a distributor, meaning Blowout DA also had to buy it from a distributor. So they are showing some love to distributors. There's only a 4,000-box run, which, you know, I'm not a math genius. I read this somewhere. It's a 500-case run. So it should, just based on, you know, pure numbers, it should be hot, one would think. Basketball, I think, is where Prizm needs to be. Now, I don't think Prizm needs to be in baseball. I don't think Prizm needs to be in football. Well, maybe football, but they need to do a better job with that. And it didn't do well in hockey. So I think Prizm needs to stay where it's at in this kind of niche. And, you know, people love the gold. The gold sell for well in this sport, and they don't sell well in the other sports.
Well, can we like, get rid of a word on this show? Can we just stop using the word exclusive? Tired of it. It's been overused. It's overhyped.
Man,
stop using the word exclusive.
I use that word, like, every day. Like, I'm exclusive to Rockstar. I'm exclusive to Toyota. You know? I walk in my house, I'm exclusive to Samsung flat screens. You know what I mean? So I don't know if I can stop using that, man. It's like part of, I think I'm going to get a tattoo on my bicep that says exclusive. I mean, it's going to be tough for me to stop using that word.
Well, all right.
So, but maybe we could substitute it. What can we use instead of the word exclusive?
I don't know. It's just, it's so overdone. Everybody wants to be exclusive to something. Check out my exclusiveness.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of another exclusive, Titanium Hockey is exclusive to Canada. Did you hear about that?
Oh, there you go. There you go again.
The cards are exclusive, the shipping's exclusive, and it's an exclusive to a distributor called Universal in Canada. Hey? So,
hey?
You know, you got to make sure that, hey, yeah, threw that in there. A exclusive. But, yeah, so, you know, we're going to have to figure out a way to, maybe I'll send you to Canada or something to go pick it up before we do the case break of it. What do you think?
I'm down. Ryan, let's take a road trip to Canada.
Let's get a case of coconut water. Get a case of coconut water, and you know, gas up the truck, and we'll go to Canada, and get some titanium. We'll smuggle some titanium across the border.
We're literally gonna have to smuggle it like it's just drugs. They're gonna be like, wait, you guys look like you guys collect cards. Are you guys smuggling any titanium hockey over the border? They're like, nope. Just coconut water.
Just coconut water, guys.
Yeah, maybe you can. Yeah, that's how you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to, like, you know, buy cases of coconut water and then just, like, shove the cases in around it and just cover it all up. And then they're going to just tell them you're from San Francisco, and it'll explain why you're bringing coconut water back.
Nah, dude, it's not the – that's Rice-A-Roni is the San Francisco treat, not coconut water.
Well, just California in general, it makes sense why that coke. Okay, yeah, you know, that's why I'm going. So, you know,
maybe
Berkeley.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I don't know what that has to do with anything.
I'm just saying, when you get close to 40, you drink coconut water. That's all. It's, you know, if you read between the lines there, that's what I meant by that statement. But sorry, I didn't know how to explain it to you. But titanium, it's kind of a downer. I mean, you know, to me, you know, and I try to be happy and put spins on it. And I think Ryan, you tweeted this out. I think what that says is there was not enough pre-sales for the U.S. for them to carry it in the U.S. So they said, oh, crap, we're going to have all this hockey titanium product stuck here in the U.S. It's going to sit on distributor shelves. So why not just cancel it in the U.S. altogether, take our print run and send it to Canada, and, you know, hopefully that will create some demand. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Hockey's pretty popular.
what they, I mean, they should have honored your guys' case so that we don't have to drive to Canada next week and pick this case up. So I would have honored, if they're going to sell it on the website in the U.S., on their iCollect Panini website, honor the sales to the people who did make an order through one of your distributors, and then do how you're doing and sell the rest on your website. You know, it does seem like, you know, Panini's very good at, and this is actually a compliment, they're very good at kind of putting a positive spin on something that was kind of weak. Because
right.
I was getting emails 3 or 4 months ago about titanium and $75 a box, blah, 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 you know, to order in the United States. So it's obvious that that didn't go very well. But there's probably some demand in Canada, but there was still some demand here in the United States, just not as much as they expected. So I would just like to see them honor your guys' order and anybody else who placed an order, and then sell it on the, promote that you guys have it. Promote, oh, well, hey, all these guys are going to have it, and after that, it's going to be all dried up, and it'll be on our website or in Canada.
Right.
You know, but they did a pretty good job kind of smoothing out the best they could. But just honor the orders that you have, though, on it.
I agree, and it goes back to last year. I think I talked to both of you guys about this off-air, but, you know, it's a titanium saga. I'm pretty much – I'm not going to pre-order it next year, I don't think, until I get it set in stone or it's here. I'm not going to go ahead and put it on the website because last year, if you all remember – and yes, I did use y'all. I don't know why. I'm from California. But titanium last year, it was a week before it came out. We had a break listed, and they go, oh, the NHLPA said we could only have certain rookies in, so we have to cancel titanium, and we're putting the titanium cards that we do have made in Rookie Anthology. So it got canceled last year, and now this year comes around. I'm just having titanium withdrawals, man. I mean, I don't know how to deal with the lack of titanium. I can't get it. I'm like, you know, a blue balls over here over titanium. It's insane. It's like, I've never wanted something more than ever in my life than titanium. I just can't. They won't deliver it to me.
I think you'll be okay.
Yeah. We'll see, man. We'll see.
You busted out of y'all, right? It's all that country music you're listening to.
Yeah, maybe.
It's all that. It's that Luke Bryan you have on repeat in your car constantly.
It's more like I've been more into Miley Cyrus, you know, in the club, smoking perp. That's the song that's been playing over and over again. Twerking. Twerking, bringing it back.
She has a song called In the Club.
Something about perp or something like that.
Didn't 50 Cent have a song that was called In the Club?
No,
yeah.
It's not quite that kind. You just Google it. She's wearing like a Michael Jordan jersey or something, and just check it out. Yeah. You got to stay hip with all the youngsters these days. You know what I mean? So I try to stay hip every once in a while.
By listening to Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, just give it a flavor of the week. Yep.
I'm more of a One Direction person myself, but hey, who am I to judge?
Yeah, you know, exactly. Same thing. All right. Well, we're losing the three listeners that we have. I think we're down to two now. So we'll go ahead and kick right into. We'll kick right back into. We'll kick into 2013 products in general. Cheers and jeers. I mean. Overall, I think 2012 beat out 2013, I think, just as a content, but it probably had a lot to do with the rookie classes for each sport. Basketball was strong. I think basketball was king last year when it came to products because there was some really great releases towards the end of the year. But, you know, rather than making a very lengthy review segment, we'll just start with baseball and start with Dan. What products did you like last year when it came to baseball?
See, and I know it wasn't amazing, but I still like the flagships. I still like the tributes of the world, the triple threads. Actually, I thought triple threads this year was better than expected. I thought the card design was good. everything else was kind of the same cookie cutter style, just with a different checklist. I mean, Bowman Chrome was kind of the same. You know, five star. They did. They fixed it up a little bit, less chipping, but it's like they produced more of it, and the checklist seemed huge. I mean, you had autos that were numbered to like 330 and 350, 380, and you're talking about a $400 box of cards. I felt the check. I thought the design was great. They fixed the flaws with the chipping, but overall, like, just the value wasn't there, and you could see how the secondary pricing on the singles and the boxes have been falling since release. So that's a little concerning. I think they could have done so much more with that in content, and that could have been one of the greatest sets this year, but I'm going to stick with the tribute, and I didn't say WBC tribute, just tribute regular.
No. Tribute regular. You're searching for a word there, and it's just regular, you know? It's like, it's not like Pop-Tarts where you have, you know, brown sugar and you have, you know, strawberry. You have it's like, you know, jumbo regular, and that's it. You don't have very many words you can use.
I figure that strawberry Pop-Tarts are pretty much Pop-Tarts regular.
Isn't that right? That's the original.
That's the original.
If you go into a gas station, they're going to carry one flavor. It's going to be strawberry. You know, it's like the Slurpee. It's only going to be Coke if they had one, right? And regular Pop-Tart is strawberry. Brown sugar.
Yeah, regular Pop-Tart strawberry. No. It would be blueberry would be Pop-Tart regular part two. Like,
I don't know. I
secondary regular.
We'll save that for another episode. Pop-Tart episode. But I props to Ryan here on sportscardradio.com. I was actually on your release calendar, and I'm like, is there a way I could just look at baseball sets for this year? And there was a link, and boom, just all baseball sets. So it makes it pretty easy.
They're not all there. Warning, they're not all there. So that's how lazy I am. There's probably about half of them, though, maybe.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, the ones that matter are here. So. You know, one that I did like that, you know, maybe will go down next year, and maybe because it was an innovation this year is why I liked it, but I liked Bowman Inception. I thought Bowman Inception was a great value. It was on the heels of the first Puig auto. So I liked Bowman Inception this year. I thought it was a pretty strong checklist. There was a good amount of redemptions, but I just liked the overall value at $100 a box with five hits, five autos. So I was a big fan of that. Kind of scrolling through, nothing really jumps out at me for baseball. Series 1, like you said, March had Heritage, Opening Day, Tribute, Triple Play, and then in April, Gypsy Queen. Bowman came out in May. Museum Collection came out in May. Archives came out in May. USA Baseball Champions came out in May. June, Series 2, Pro Debut, Golden Age. Then July, Bowman Inception, Tier 1, Pinnacle, which is kind of forgotten about. Allen and Ginter came out in August, Cooperstown. Fleer Retro, or Upper Deck Baseball Retro. And then kind of ending out the year with Finest Chrome, Bowman Chrome, Update, Triple Threads, Draft Picks and Prospects, 5-star, and Sterling. And, you know, we do, even though it was a 2012, under the 2012 label, National Treasures did come out in January. So that was a pretty strong product, considering it did not have a license. And you could see on the secondary market that 2012 National Treasures jumped up. And Dan, what do you think? Why do you think that set did so well?
Content, checklist, guys that you don't see signing a lot of old, like, old-timey vets, a lot of Hall of Famers. Button cards were really unique. I have the only, like, issue I had with that set was it seemed they tend to devalue books. They had a lot of books that were numbered in 99, and they were just like jumbo single-color swatches. It's like you almost at that point you're like, don't put the book in there. Just have like a jumbo swatch that's not a book. But that set, I mean, the content was amazing. It was great stuff. The box prices like shot through the roof. what you didn't mention, you didn't mention any Leaf products. Like, there was Leaf Memories.
Yes. Yeah, Leaf Memories is very, very strong.
That was awesome. There is a Leaf Trinity that is relatively new.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess that came out at the end of the year. Yep, so that would still be considered.
And that had, like, amazing patches, had the glass cards. They put cards already top-loaded, so it makes my life a lot easier. So.
Yeah, that's when you're a breaker and having cards already tricking in top-loaded. That is, I'm going to send him a little Christmas card, a little overdue Christmas card for that one, because that saves so much time. I know it's probably a lot of time on his end to do it, and plus an extra cost, but very nice service to provide for collectors and breakers, for that matter. So, and Brian, anything stand out at you? I know you didn't open as much as you know we did, but is there any set or baseball design or anything that's kind of popped out at you over 2013?
Yeah, I have to lean on you guys for that. I definitely probably open up like 0.0001% of the cards that you guys do, but one thing that I do get excited about is like who's going to be in Bowman Inception, the Bowman Cromwich prospects and stuff. So I go to a lot of minor league games. So it's always fun for me to see, okay, well, which guys from the Cal League are going to be, you know, in the set? Does Addison Russell have an autograph? You know, guys, you know, just guys that I've seen play. So that's always interesting. And I think the Bowman Inception baseball set you were talking about, that was one of the few boxes or kind of product that went up in value, that if you bought it and sat on it for some reason for, you know, 6 months or so, you could probably sell it for a little bit more than you bought it for. So, or open it up and get the 5 autographs or whatever was in there. So what kind of excites me. Definitely the prospect set more than anything else. I'm always curious to see, you know, who they choose to put autographs and so forth and kind of feature in the set.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Dan, you know, let's act like this is like the Grammys or something and you're opening up an envelope. Who would you give Product of the Year to this year? And I'll use the sound effects.
Oh, there's sound effects.
Well, I ripped the playbook checklist on air. Playbook checklist ripped.
Sweet. God. I know it's like quiet. Everybody's like, probably what is he thinking? Bowman Sterling was nice.
Yeah. It was probably the most innovative design. I mean, out of all of them, it was actually them taking a chance on something.
I think I'm going to go with. It's hard to really pick. I mean, you don't want to go with Triple Threat, because Triple Threads is pretty much a flagship. It's kind of the same deal every year. They did definitely revamp Bowman Sterling and change the look completely, and still tons of on-card autos, a huge, huge checklist, and it seemed like every case I opened, you were getting those marquee guys. So
yeah.
Overall value, overall look, and I'm going to have to go with Bowman Sterling Baseball.
Okay, I like it.
That's the winner.
We got a Bowman Sterling draft on the site, not to plug, but, you know, we do have some Bowman Sterling on the site. No, just kidding. It's hard for me to pick. I've got, like, 3 or 4 products in mind. I mean, I would probably have to – I know it's a high price point, but I'd have to give it to National Treasures just for, you know, the sheer amount of content. You can hit $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 bat barrel out of it. You can get some guys you've never seen before. I think it was the most unique product this year. A close second probably would be Trinity for me. I mean, opening up Trinity, I was just like, wow. Leaf on the rise when it comes to baseball products this year. Leaf Metal was great. Memories, like you said, the best of baseball is always good. It's a buyback product. But I think National Treasures is my favorite and best product this year. Now, if I had to pick a lower-end product, because I know that's, you know, out of everybody's price range sometimes by buying single boxes of National Treasure, I probably have to go with Inception, which we talked about earlier, which was you know, we thought it was going to be a little cartoony, but it seemed to deliver, and I like that one. Beyond that, Panini's releases beyond National Treasures for baseball was pretty bad. I mean, I hate to rip on Panini here, but Prism Baseball, Prism Draft Picks Baseball, and even Select now, I mean, it just kind of swung and missed with all those releases. So they did a really good job.
No pun intended with the swing and miss, right? Because you're talking about baseball.
Yeah, no. But no pun intended there. You know, the Chrome products, the Chrome, the Draft, the Bowman, the regular Bowman, I mean, it is what it is. I didn't like that they added more color this year. I mean, there was just, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Why do we need to change the color of blue refractors? Why do we need to add green and frickin' gold and rainbow and frickin' magenta and, you know, whatever color you can come up with, they're going to put it in there. I mean, let's fast forward to 2025. They're going to have frickin' 35 different colored refractors in Bowman, it's going to seem like. I mean, this has got to stop at some point. That's my problem with Bowman. But, I mean, it does have the highest resale value when it comes to the Clint Braziers, to the Puigs. So those do have the highest resale. So Bowman was strong this year. It didn't really go up as years prior, but it did what it did. So, word. Let's go ahead and go on to football. This is gonna be a little bit of a tough one, but I mean, I did like some releases. There were some good innovations. Start with your initial thoughts on. I mean, there was some 2013 for football. You had, it's gonna be kind of hard to review because you had 2012 stuff coming out at the beginning of the year, and then we have 2013 stuff coming out at the end of the year. So I don't know. We may want to break this down in the segment. But what jumped out at you as far as 2013 football products are concerned?
Oh, yeah, 2013. But we're not even – we haven't seen all of them yet.
We haven't seen all of them, but I'm just, you know, calendar year ended. So I'm just going
– I mean, how do I judge it when the best hasn't even come out yet?
Could it be the best, though? You don't know.
No, well, it's the best. You got five-star and NT that are still coming out.
Yeah.
So it's,
and Supreme and Black.
I'm gonna like NT. I'm gonna like it. It could be the best. I'm not sure, but you mean probably the best so far.
So far, what do you think? I mean, what was the winner in your mind? What is the one that you couldn't wait, that you sat at home and you had visions of it?
Oh man, how many releases? Like 38.
Probably
38. You know, I really wish we would have had a conversation earlier about what the show is going to be about. I would have been a little bit more prepared, but you want to go down the list?
We had this conversation for, you know, 2 hours before the show. No, we didn't. Well, I'll start with mine. I mean, some of the takeaways that I saw with 2013 products, I mean, you know, we did blame the rookie class at the beginning of the year, and I guess that never went away. I think there is quantity over quality this year with rookies. There's a lot more guys playing, but there's just not that one guy that we had in 2012, and they kind of upped the print run on this stuff, which didn't help. So, you know, maybe next year we need to go back down and lower print runs a little bit. But, you know, stuff that Trinity was good. Contenders last week was refreshingly good. I actually didn't expect a whole lot out of it. I liked it a lot. So Limited kind of took a step back, in my opinion. Playbook was solid. Prism Jumbo I actually liked with all the inserts. Tufts did a really good job with Inception. I really liked Inception early on in the season. And, frankly, Tufts Finest did really well. So, I liked Finest a lot.
Finest was good. Finest was good.
Top Chrome is still a staple and a good value. If you're going to take a chance on a 2013 product, you want to just buy a box, get a box of Topps Chrome for $65. You're not really invested that much into it. Strata was actually pretty good. Actually, it was funny because I think Panini did a better job last year in football products, but I think this year Topps is winning so far, is winning the battle when it comes to football products.
I think it's actually Strata was damn good. And last year I could not stand that card design. And they changed it up a little bit, and man, like some of those clear-cut autos, like the Prime ones, were amazing-looking cards.
Juicy.
And for the price point, you can't go wrong. I mean, that was actually a pretty refreshing, pretty good design. And they had some vet stuff in there too. It wasn't all rookie-based.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think that's a good one.
The winner?
You know, my pick for product of the year for 2013 would be Finest. I think that's my pick. The content was great. The base cards looked nice. The patches went well. They weren't obscenely numbered. They didn't number them rather than number them to 1,200 like they did in Sterling. So I like that. Or in Platinum, which they were numbered to frickin' 1,202, which was ridiculous. So my product of the year so far for football is Finest, probably followed by Topps Chrome after that so far. I thought Sterling's design was good. I thought it was a step up. Just like Sterling Baseball, they went with kind of that modern, you know, kind of car design, and I like the look, but for some reason the content didn't deliver, and I think that was solely on the rookie class that these guys aren't selling. There's not a $300 guy. You pull a Luck last year, it's a $300 guy. You pull a Wilson, it's a $250 guy. You know, freaking RG3 was a $250. There's just not a $300 guy in football right now. Lacy's kind of getting there, and if he wins Rookie of the Year, maybe he'll be the $300 guy. Contenders, you know, I know I'm jumping all over the place. All my thoughts are coming together. Contenders autos are selling actually really well. Lacy's selling for over like 150 bucks. Bell to 70 to 80 on a base. So that's refreshing. So maybe the end of the year is going to end out strong with what these cards are going to sell in the secondary market.
Yeah, I mean, I think so far, without the rest of the releases to come out, I like Contenders. I think Contenders is like one of the better values. You're getting 5 to 6 autos. It seems like you're getting more numbered autos than you were getting before. I don't know if it was a smaller print run or how they did. I know it's a huge checklist, but you're also getting like vet autos in there too. I know we pulled like a LaShawn McCoy auto that was pretty nice. I think for my product of the year so far, I'm going to go with the flagship. I'm going to go with Contenders, followed by Strata, which was, I thought, really like a step in the right direction. Also, a surprising product that I can't believe it like went down in value as much as it did was Topps Prime. I think you can buy a box of Topps Prime for like $50-something right now.
Yeah,
and it's 4 hits. It has the full bleed design. I don't think the hits were really that bad. Select wasn't a bad design either. Like the way the gold sell pretty well. The issue with Select is the huge checklist.
Yes.
Getting a couple autos in Select that are going to be of any value is going to be difficult. I would probably just save my money and just buy Contenders.
Yeah,
it's weird that those sets came out like really close to each other. And I bet if you were to A/B those two checklists, they would be almost identical.
Yep. So, let's quickly go to worst product of the year. I think you're going to agree. I know we actually didn't do this for baseball, but I don't want to jump back. Whatever. We didn't have a worst product of the year for baseball. Worst product of the year, I'm going to say hands down, is Prominence. Prominence so far was the worst product of the year.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with that. It's hard.
We don't have any boxes on the shelf, so I'm clear. I can say that now. Actually, I had one lone box just sitting there forever, and it went away this weekend.
Oh, I was going to say, wait a sec, it's the greatest product again.
Yeah, I mean, because if I had 15 boxes, it might be the product of the year, you know? I mean, I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. Try to be honest here. Even if we have a lot of stock, we're still going to be honest with you. But, you know, whatever they did with Prominence was bad. There was just too much manufactured stuff going on with the product. Rubber helmets is not good. And manufactured logos are so 2007. I mean, come on now. We've moved past that. We can't trick collectors with a freaking, you know, number to 150, B from Giovanni Bernard's nameplate, and somebody's going to think it's real and be excited about it. No one, we can't do that anymore. We got to come up with some kind of more innovation. I think they need to limit the releases and cut the fat and see what the sales did this year and limit them. And, Nick Kay is exactly right. And he says more owned card autos and lower print runs. That's what they need to do in the coming years. And it's funny, when it came to football this year, we all tried to be positive about the rookie class and said they'll figure it out. And, you know, there was some rookies that emerged, and the market sustained a little bit, you know, and maybe more people fled to breaks rather than buying, you know, boxes of this stuff. But it amazes me that, as you know, they've seen the sales on the secondary market, they haven't changed anything that's been coming out. I don't know if they packed this out so far in advance that they can't change it, or they're too invested in the rookie premier guys to change it. But you would just think.
Well,
that,
But you know how it goes. I mean, there's 30 some odd guys at the rookie premier. They paid those guys a lot of money to sign those cards. They're going to put those guys into the products. Dude, we're probably still gonna open up products that come out that are gonna have Ryan Swope in them.
Well, yeah. He's probably gonna be an NT. I hate to burst your guys' bubbles out there, but he's probably gonna be an NT, and that's gonna suck. But I mean, let's just mentally prepare ourselves for that right now.
Dude, if I pull a Ryan Swope like RPA out of NT out of like a $400 or $500 box. That's gonna make me angry. I mean, but again, that's like they paid that guy to sign those cards. They're going to get their investment worth. They're gonna get what they paid for.
Well,
so they're
just gonna
throw them in there.
I'm trying to put it. Maybe I put a positive spin on it. Like, can't they know? Like, so okay, so you have 800 Ryan Swope autos. I mean, it's kind of like us when we had 25 boxes of Prominence, right? Well, we're not going to do a 25-box break of Prominence. We're going to slowly get rid of Prominence and just kind of make it an extra box in a 12-box mixer or whatever, or do a free break with it or something to slowly get rid of it. Can't they, like, maybe just slowly get rid of Swope, maybe put them in next year or something? Well, maybe if they put them in next year, that might even be worse. But I'm just saying, like, if they figure out a guy sucks, can't they kind of say, okay, we'll take this budget and use it for the next couple years?
How about this? You go to Ryan Swope's house, you knock on the door. He answers the door. You hand him a big old giant binder of stickers that he signed and say, hey, give me back the money. You're not going to play football. Give me back what I paid you to sign this stuff. Because you don't see a lot of Topps cards with Ryan Swope. You see
no,
a lot more
there's
Panini.
A few, but...
There's more Panini with Ryan Swope than there is Topps.
Right.
But
maybe
yeah, you should
have,
be like, hey,
maybe they can have,
you're not going to play football.
Like, right.
Just give Ryan Swope his 10,000 cards that he signed on card and be like, give me back like the $18,000 we gave you to sign this stuff.
Well, maybe
I don't know if it, I don't know if it, I don't know if it was I don't know if it was 18,000. I was just making a number.
If they don't play, there's a contingency factor of that they don't get paid and they can just return this. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't play, then we're not going to pay you for these autographs because no one's going to want them. I don't know if they can do that. I mean, in this case, we're ripping on this guy that had a disorder. That's why he's not playing. I mean, actually, we're probably horrible human beings right now. We're ripping on a guy that's, like, got concussion syndrome and, you know, the poor guy. I mean, you know, we're ripping on him and his auto's not worth anything. Well, it's like kind of ripping on Cooper Manning or something. Like, if you had a Cooper Manning auto, a guy didn't play because he's got back problems. Ryan Swope, I apologize to you if you're out there listening. I'm very sorry that we keep rubbing your name in the dirt, but it's just, you know, somebody pays for a team and they don't want a card of a guy that doesn't play. which is bottom line.
Well, I mean, what's the difference between that and in 2011 getting a bunch of Jordan Todmans? I mean, I know he's playing now, but he wasn't playing exactly before, and like that guy, he was loaded in everything. I mean, what's the difference
but
between a guy
hope
who like there's hope? Yeah, I guess.
That's the difference. There's hope. You know, you don't have any hope for him. It's like pulling a Jamarcus Russell rookie right now. I mean, you're gonna have, is there any hope for Jamarcus Russell? No.
You do realize that hope rhymes with slope, right?
Hope and the great white hope and slope.
Oh man. Yeah.
So, but
well,
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there was some dumpy products. I mean, I think Prominence did take the cake on it, but you know, Select wasn't great. But I mean, there's some. Hopefully, they take notice of these sales and they either don't make these products anymore next year, or they learn upon. I mean, Ryan, what's your take on what can they innovate next year? I mean, see, the crappy thing about this whole scenario, before I get to you, Ryan, is that it's going to be a good rookie class, so they're not even going to need to innovate anything. So I almost wish it was a bad rookie class again, so they didn't have to innovate. But they could just literally put, you know, Bridgewater on a piece of they could put him on a
toilet
piece
paper
of cement without even a phone.
Toilet paper.
What's that?
Toilet paper.
Yeah, toilet paper.
You can put him on a piece
paper
of toilet paper.
It's going to sell because it's Bridgewater. He's first round. He's first overall pick. He's going to sell. It's quarterback. So, I mean, but Ryan, what do you think they could have done this year in hindsight that could have innovated some of these products to sell?
Oh, gosh. That's a really tough question. What I would do is, being a lazy person myself, I would go out and try to solicit the 500, you know, best football card collectors and have a 15-minute conversation with them, you know, and give away something at the end. If I was in charge of doing that, I think that's what I would do. I would try to get in touch with as many people who actually collect these cards and find out the reason why, what do they enjoy about them. And so I'm probably not qualified to really speak on what I would do specifically. There probably are some business things. You guys talked about the rookie premiere and how, you know, it's kind of like a year-long contract with all 30 to 40 of those guys or whatever it is, Swope, Todman, Agnew. I mean, Agnew's a perfect example of a guy that you should just cut. So for me, it would be a philosophical change in how they're creating these sets, whether you're doing one-off deals with Manti Te'o or the quarterback. I don't know. I don't really know, but I would probably try to do that. Unfortunately, it's so expensive. This is a very dicey industry. It's a shame there's not a place where there's an open kind of conversation about this and how dicey it is, because they're paying multi-million dollars on one end to license these cards, and they have to hit certain numbers, and that means they've got to crank out a bunch of sets or one big set. You know what I mean? So it's just so many variables. It's difficult on all kind of sides, but I think step one is talk to the people who actually collect these cards, figure out why they enjoy them, and hopefully build some ideas, build some products, build some cards around what, you know, the people you do have collecting, you know, use them. Use them to do the work for you. If I was working for Penny New York Top, you know, find out the reasons why. Because if there's somebody out there collecting it, there would be more people who would do it. If there's one person out there that finds value in it, and whether it's building a set, collecting autographs, trying to make money, buying and selling cards, or whatever it is, just start thinking what do they not like. And I guarantee you it'll be sticker autograph, redemption, Ryan Swope, Michael Agnew situation, kind of the sameness, too many products. I mean, that is just glaringly obvious. I hope somebody asks them, these companies, if somebody gets an opportunity and they're willing to take kind of open questions, ask them, why do they come out with so many products? Have you ever thought about not coming out with so many products and limiting the amount of cards you're putting in and creating value, making these cards collectible, very collectible? You know, do they even think about that? Or is it all about trying to hit license numbers, royalty numbers, and have VIP parties, and everybody gets paid, and, you know, that kind of thing. So that's a long-winded kind of thing. But use your customers. Let them tell you. Let them almost do the work for you. All you have to do is listen and ask questions and then see if it's something you can implement. Have that open dialogue with them. And not an $8 an hour employee that you call a 1-800 number. Reach out to these people. These boxes cost a lot of money. I mean, I cannot believe it. It's insane. You know, if you're buying one box of cards for $150, that's a lot of money. For something like that. So the expectation, I think, should be high. That you're getting something that you're enjoying, and that's at least somewhat worth that money.
Well, I got a scenario here. Like, just throwing it out there. So this is like for you guys and listeners and customers and stuff like that. What if they let's throw contenders out there because it just came out. Let's say if Panini came out and they're like, okay, we're gonna do contenders this year. And we're going to have 5 on-card autos guaranteed, and they're going to be all numbered to 50 or less. And the price point, since we're going to make a lot less of it, we got to still make our money, the price point is $350. All right, now you're getting 5 on-card autos, and they're all numbered to 50 or less. Now, contenders now, I think, is around 120, and you get 5 autos. 2 of them are on-card. And most of them are not numbered. Now, what do you think the consensus of the average collector? You think, there's going to be people who are like, at $350 a box, I'm priced out. I can't buy this product. I can't afford it. Or you think there would be more people going, you know what, it's a better value. It's going to have better resale value. I see it more as an investment. I'm willing to spend the $350. What do you think the consensus is? Do you think at some point, customers are priced out of the equation, or would they be willing to spend more for a better investment?
That's a good. I like a higher price point for, you know, more value. But you're right. You would be maybe pricing people out of it. It's tough. You look at a product like Flawless, which people said is absolutely it's flawless. No one's going to buy it. It's too much money. And look what happened. So, you know there's a market for the higher end because people collect that, and people will spend the money for their guys.
I'm saying in general, what it would do is it would limit the production run. If you limit the production run, the license has to get paid somehow. So if they limit the production run and make less of it, they're going to have to sell it for more.
Right.
So you can't have it both ways. You can't have all on-card autos, limited print run of the guys you want to collect, have great resale value, and have $100 a box.
Right.
It can't be both ways. It's either going to be $350 a box or $100 a box, and then you're going to get basically kind of a watered-down product at $100 a box.
Right. And Kelp has a good point. It depends on if you're getting boxes of Travis Kelce, Deion Sims, and Bjorn Warner number to 25, because that's still, it's not going to matter. Those guys don't bring value, but if you're getting boxed with Lacy, Bernard, EJ, like you said, then you're going to have the value there because those are the guys people want. But how can you alienate the 250 guys they had signed? They got to get them in some kind of product. I do think that they need to focus on more high-end stuff, but, you know, then there's no chance of any future kids getting in this hobby at all. And at what point are we going to alienate kids, and then we don't have, when we get old, there's not going to be a hobby, it's going to be death. At some point, they still have to continue the low end, but they need to find a happy medium with it. So, I don't know. That's a good question, and if there's a happy medium that needs to be met there.
Yeah. So that's that.
That is that. Let's spend a lot of time on football. Let's go into basketball, and there was some good stuff. Basketball, I think, out of the four main sports last year, I mean, basketball kicks some ass. I mean, there was some bad product. There, don't get me wrong. There was the brilliances. There was the
basketball.
There was a lot. There was some bad ones. What's that?
Panini basketball.
I mean, that was basketball light. Yeah.
Basketball.
Yeah,
basketball regular.
Basketball regular. You know. Elite Series was pretty bad. I mean, that was a really bad attempt at a high-end product that just was bad. But there was some really good products. Immaculate was amazing. Flawless was fantastic. Select and Prism did well. Select kind of went down. The Prism was that brings Sexy back to the golds and the Prisms, and it bring Panini back on the map with some base card love. So there was some good things with basketball last year. National Treasures did well, and it's still doing well. Basketball market as a whole, and that could be, obviously, the overseas sales helped it. Secondary market was these, you know, European guys and stuff, and Asia market. They really pay a lot for some of these cards, and that really shows. That shows in the product.
Basketball is dope.
There was a lot of releases. What was your favorite product for basketball last year?
I mean, I hate to go with the a Flawless was amazing. I got to go at Flawless just because I was one of the critics who was, at the National, we were talking about it constantly. I'm like, there's never going to be a product that is $1,500 that people are going to buy. This is going to be a complete flop. And they proved me wrong to the point where, like, what is a box now? Like, over $2,000?
$2,300, yep.
$2,300 a box. Yeah, they proved me wrong. That was, I mean, that product, like, over-delivered to the point where it was crack. I mean, people were going after it. Like, people are still willing to pay whatever they want for it. Immaculate was amazing. I mean, that was a solid product. I thought the patches in Immaculate and some of the designs were actually a little bit sleeker than Flawless, but you can't deny the secondary market on Flawless. So I have to say that was, based on price point, it was a mark that had never been reached before, and you gotta give credit where credit is due on that. So I would say Flawless, but there was a lot of good products. I really like Preferred Bass. All Killer, No Filler. Probably not going to get a Prime book. I don't know if they have any Prime books at this point. I think I've seen one or two in, I don't know, maybe 20 cases that we've opened.
Yeah.
I know they exist, though. But the rookie silhouette, the Prime rookie silhouettes, amazing design. Big fan of those. But I would have to go Flawless, and then my secondary would be Preferred.
Well, here's the funny thing, right? Flawless. No redemptions, low print run. Success, right? That's a model that should be put on a pedestal now. That should be like, this is the standard. So what is the difference between... They didn't have any redemptions in that product. What did they do differently? So it's acceptable to have a redemption. It's acceptable to have a redemption in a $150 product, but they go, oh, well, in a $1,500 product, we can't have redemption. So they went the extra mile, pushed the release out, and there's not one redemption in the product.
And they were able to get magnetic, and they were able to get briefcases. And able to put padding in the briefcases, but didn't we have an issue with Immaculate's packaging?
They did. I don't know if that was we'll see. We're gonna open up that case soon here, but
wasn't Immaculate's packaging pretty similar to National Treasures packaging?
It was. It was similar to National Treasures baseball packaging. It was a tin, similar to National Treasures baseball. But, yeah, supposedly, for those out there, that they only gave us, like, 79% of our product because Panini ran out of tins for Immaculate. So now we're all starting to get our Immaculate that we were due back in. So, you know, eight weeks later, we were only due one case, so we got the one case in. It's on the site if you want to buy a team. So the tins here, they made the tins and the products out. So I wish I could document what comes out of this because it'd be interesting to see, you know, on this wave that came out after the release, is it going to contain the same content? One case is not going to give us a good idea, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
So
what do you what do you think? What was your product? What was your product of the year for basketball? Was it flawless?
Man, it would be easy to say flawless. I mean, I guess I have to. It would be flawless or immaculate. I'm immaculate. They took what they did in hockey well, which was the patches that were cut up, and they made one full size jersey. And those are selling like freaking crack. I mean, those people love them. I mean, some of those cards are selling for thousands of dollars, like the LeBrons are selling for thousands of dollars, and it's just a jumbo piece of patch without an auto on it. So, you know, it'd be hard. I mean, they're two different style of products, but I don't know. I guess I'd have to go flawless, but that's an easy answer. I feel like I'm cheating you guys. So I feel like I'm cheating you on that answer there, but I'd have to go flawless.
Let's go ahead.
It's never been done.
Let's go ahead and do this. So National Treasures flagship comes out every year, was kind of the standard for basketball high-end. If you have a choice between Immaculate or National Treasures, what do you go with?
I have a choice between what?
National Treasures basketball and Immaculate basketball.
I go with Immaculate.
Okay, what is that? And I think that's the consensus with 95% of the basketball collectors out there. So what is that going to do for National Treasures next year? Are people going to – I mean, if I had $500 and I'm going to buy a box of basketball cards and National Treasure comes out, but I know in 2 months there's going to be Immaculate, I'm saving my money and I'm not going to buy National Treasures.
Well, it is hard to compare. I mean, like Kelp said, it's $750 a box right now for National Treasures, $489 a box for Immaculate. You could almost get two boxes of Immaculate for the price of NT. So it is kind of two different kind of products. You get more hits out of National Treasures. I think where they fell off this year is the dual autos that they put in every box were just a bad idea. And they took a chance at it, but it just didn't work.
Yeah, those didn't sell for well at all. I mean, even if it had the Kyries that were duels, like, didn't sell for well. So yeah, that was.
So I mean, Ryan, what did you see any products that stood out for you? I know you watch a lot of basketball, play fantasy basketball and stuff. Was there anything that stood out in your mind that you're like, man, this is pretty innovative?
This is gonna sound like a broken record, but when I was watching you guys break flawless basketball, I never seen people so excited for a break to happen. And I didn't see anybody complain about the price. I didn't see, I tried to watch several breaks, and I watched the stuff. I was like, wow, these cards are pretty amazing, to be honest. And I wasn't just sitting there thinking, oh, this product was X and X thousands of dollars. There was genuine excitement. In that, when the product was being opened, it seemed like you guys were really excited. So that, jumped out at me because I can't think of another. I didn't watch any breaks of Immaculate, so I can't even really speak about that product. But with Flawless, I mean, it was just, I couldn't believe the excitement, in the chat box and the cards that were coming out. People were genuinely excited, and that's what you need. And maybe that's the model they go with is, this ultra-high-end that, yes, it is very expensive. And I think the people opening Prestige and Hoops, they're not expecting to pull a Damian Lillard five-colored autograph patch out of it. They may be looking for something different, maybe codes or a game or something to play later on. And that's what I would maybe steer those sets toward that and then have this whole other – and then try to get them to buy more high-end. You know what I'm saying? I think the guy who buys Flawless would maybe buy more products like Flawless if you continue to make them appealing to them and leave the prestige and the hoops and the other stuff to a different type of collector, which I think there are, you know, different types of collectors. A lot of basketball collectors who could care less about Flawless. And like you said, it is priced out for them. But so is a Mercedes. I can't go buy a brand new Mercedes, you know, tomorrow. But I'm not gonna complain about it. You know what I mean? So I'd still like to have one, but it's just not gonna happen. Maybe I'll work hard enough someday and I can go buy one. But maybe I'll go buy a used Mercedes or something. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think you have to worry about pricing people out. Just know that there are different types of collectors. I've never seen people so excited when you guys were opening those boxes of Flawless. I can't even remember a product, period, like in a long time where it was like that. Granted, I'm not watching every single break, but I was watching those and I was like, wow, this is really unique and really cool and something that's very cool. And hopefully more people try, because I didn't see one person complain about the price. And the price was just skyrocketing on this stuff, not just for you guys. I mean, it was skyrocketing for you guys. I mean, it wasn't like you guys were getting this stuff cheap. So, I mean, I saw the price absolutely went crazy on that stuff to buy wholesale. And you know, at the end of the day, it didn't matter because it was so exciting to watch. So hopefully they stayed on that path. They're different types of collectors. Don't try to please everybody. Make a freaking $5,000 box if you can deliver and people are excited about it and people are pumped. It seemed like people were pumped about Flawless.
They were. And like Kel said in the chat, there was $150 hit drafts that were selling out in seconds. And, you know, we were getting customers that were strictly only baseball customers going into doing this Flawless. They don't even watch basketball, or maybe they do. I mean, everybody watches sports, but, you know, they were primarily a baseball customer or a football customer, and now they're like, hey, you got Flawless. So, and I created some new customers overseas for us, and it was just really a great product that for the group break world, for the hobby and everything, and it set a standard that, you know, they're going to have to beat or match next year, which is going to be tough. But I hope they can, and I'm rooting for them.
See, I would like to see Topps come out with, like, an ultra-high-end baseball product.
Yes.
With no redemptions, with, like, in the realm of Flawless, what Flawless was for basketball, just imagine what Topps can do with a high-end baseball product. I mean, the sky is the limit. I mean, you could have, like, you could do it with like a prospect set, and you could also do it with like a vet set, vets and like legends.
Yeah.
I mean, if they came out with like, instead of having like a diamond card, say like you had a one of one super fractor auto in every box or every case.
Yeah.
$2,000 a box. You only made a little bit of it, but it has a one of one in there.
Yeah,
I mean,
I agree.
They can, the sky is really the limit. I mean, what they can do with that high-end products, it just takes a little bit of innovation.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, I mean, they can really do away with five-star. Well, they need five-star, but they need to rethink it next year. They, you know, and I hate to keep harping on five-star, but they did a good job with the cards themselves. The people's complaint last year was the cards themselves were chipped. So they fixed that, but what they didn't fix was the content. They had too many 333 numbered autographs. The autograph set Chetlix was strong. There really wasn't any dumpy guys on there, but, you know, for a $380 box of cards and a John Smoltz autograph out of there is selling for $20, that's a problem. I mean, there should not, like, future Hall of Famers, Craig Biggio, Smoltz, Glavin, these guys should not sell for $20 out of a $380 product. Insane. So if they,
I mean, we're talking on card autos here. I mean,
right.
If those cards were numbered to 99, they would all be selling for like $60, $70, $80.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's cool for the secondary market, the person who's like truly a collector and not looking to flip anything. They're stoked. I mean, they're able to pick up all these like Hall of Famers, future Hall of Famers, legends, autos for like $20.
I know.
It's because the print run was just a little too high. And it was too high for what they consider their high-end baseball release. And when the base cards are numbered lower than the autos, there's an issue.
Yeah.
I mean, the base cards were numbered to 75. The autos were numbered to 380. It just seems seems backwards to me.
It's very, and Kelp does have a good point that prospects sell more than Hall of Famers. You know, Byron Buxton is selling for $150 on a base auto, and Craig Biggio's autos are selling for $20. That's pretty crazy. I do love the stories. If you ever go on these forums and you see these guys, they do it. They go, I'm going to take $380, the amount I would spend on a box, and then they buy the cards from the set. That's pretty ridiculous. I mean, a guy got like a Trout, a Biggio, a Glavin, a freaking Josh Hamilton, a Prince Fielder, all for the price of a box. And, you know, I know that there's no fun in that because it's exciting and we don't know what's coming out of it. But just the amount of, you know, money you could spend on the secondary market to the price of a box is so, you know, going in the wrong direction. So, crazy.
Nuts, man. It's nuts.
So I don't know what they need to do to get these Hall of Famer guys up there. But, you know, actually we swayed off from basketball. But I kind of wanted to end off on basketball by saying probably my worst release of the year for basketball was, unfortunately, Elite Series. I think it was the worst release this year. Probably Marquee would be the second one. Hopefully they don't come out with either of those products next year.
Well, I can. Innovation was bad.
Yeah, that wasn't a great one either.
Elite Series was bad. Marquee was bad. Brilliance was bad. Panini Basketball was bad. There's a market for all of them. There is definitely a market for all of them. It got real confusing in the mid-range to like the beginning of the high range, like anywhere from like the $150 to $200 boxes. It got real confusing there for a while because you had Innovation, you had Elite Series. There's another one I'm forgetting.
Intrigue.
It got real confusing with what was what and when are these, what's different between this set and that set, and the price point's about the same, and they all came out around the same time. It was confusing. And if they keep those sets next year, they should basically just combine all of them together and take one element out of each product, make it a subset, and then just release one product and then stand behind it.
Yeah. Well, I've heard rumblings that that's what they're going to do. Contenders is another one that should be only for football. Contenders basketball did not work. Let's not make that one again either. Let's get away with that one. I know that. Do away with that one. There was that one dropped.
How about do away with Absolute? Absolute memorabilia for basketball.
You know, I didn't mind that one as much. It just had a lot. It had a lot of redemptions.
How about limited basketball? I mean, there's a lot of products that are solid in football, but they don't translate well to basketball.
Right. And the opposite way, Totally Certified, I think, is awesome for basketball. It's not amazing for football.
Totally Certified was good.
For football?
No, for basketball.
Right, yeah, I think it's great for basketball, but I don't like it for football. Same thing with the select basketball does not do well, and select line didn't do well with football. So, I mean, or baseball for that matter. So another product, you know, one of the products that went down the most, I didn't realize, we didn't really open it, was a Fleer Retro basketball. Holy crap, it went down like from $300 to like $120. I can't believe they were trying to get $300 for that at one point.
That, when it came out, was that was hot. I mean, you're going for Jordan, going for LeBron.
Yeah.
Going for PMGs, precious metal gems.
Yeah, the precious metal, the crap in your mouth. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. The PMGs do sell well. But there was a break that we did where we had it in a mixer, and I think we paid like almost like 400. It might have been 11-12 Fleer Retro. I don't think it was this year's Fleer Retro. And like, dude, we literally got like freaking $6 in autos out of a 400. It was like really bad. I mean, I felt bad for the people. I was like, I think the other boxes in the mixer were good, so it wasn't that bad, but it was just like, it was just awful. I mean, they have some guys in the set that like only played college, or that, you know, it's like they have college coaches that are obscure, and it's like $300.
Now you get guys like Tom Gugliotta and Harold Miner and Vin Baker. You're just like, sweet.
Yeah, it's like LeBron or Jordan or go home, and that's it. I mean, if you don't hit one of those guys in your box, you're S.
I mean, I know they have, like, Gary Payton and those guys, but still, I mean, there's a lot of Gary Payton autos out there.
Yeah.
Don't get
me
wrong.
So that pretty much, I mean, we can kind of briefly touch on hockey. I think hockey was, you know, a victim of the lockout last year kind of affected hockey, so there wasn't a lot of products, and they're all kind of starting to come out now this year. So I think hockey would be better left later in the year for kind of a review segment, but just to kind of quickly touch on some of the products that I like for hockey. I thought Rookie Anthology was really good. I mean, it kind of went down a lot, which is surprising, but I thought that product was good. I did like SP Game Used Hockey was good from Upper Deck. You won't usually hear me say that I like an Upper Deck product because I hate their company's face, but I did like SP Game Used. Prime Hockey was amazing. I set the standard for other sports. Prime Hockey was probably my favorite product for hockey. I mean, that pretty much sums it up. There really wasn't a whole lot. Best of Hockey came out last year. I think Brian Gray did an amazing job of Best of Hockey. And, you know, maybe we didn't touch
on hockey. Mine's a tie. I have a tie with hockey. It's between last year's Titanium and this year's Titanium.
Nice. I'm working on that tattoo on my arm right now. Looking for this.
No, Prime was amazing. Prime Hockey, in all seriousness, Prime Hockey was sick. They added the Dominion pack in there. That was good. But Dominion Hockey wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad. They changed the format of it. I mean, that was, I guess that kind of tailed end at the last. Well, that was this year. Yeah, it didn't make the cut.
Okay.
That was,
whatever.
That was this year.
Prime Hockey was the best release anyway, so.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I loved me some Prime Hockey this year. It was amazing.
I love me some Bifuglian.
Nice. You know, I wanted to have a quick conversation about the Hall of Fame ballot this year because it seems like that's what everybody's talking about. And, yes, this is going to be my Barry Bonds Homer talk. You're going to hear it. You're going to have to listen to it. I know I talk about this every freaking year. But looking at this, you know, Hall of Fame ballot, it's pretty freaking epic. And the Hall of Fame right now is how can you not vote in Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds? That's all I wanted. I mean, Craig Biggio, 3,000 hit club, Tom Glavine, 300 wins. Those guys will be in there, but come on, man, Barry Bonds. Why not?
Not I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love to see him go in, but it's not going to happen this year. It's not going to happen next year. Maybe the following year. Maybe like 2022. What do you think?
It's a fallacy, man. It's a freaking fallacy.
Actually, you know who's probably going to make it this year would be Jack Morris. He's probably going to make it. It's his last year of being eligible. I think this is like year 15 or something. And the guy has like three World Series championships. He's probably going to make it. It's his last year. He's probably going to make it. So that's going to take votes away from – that's going to take votes away from Maddux. It's going to take votes away from Biggio. It may only be Jack Morris this year. And is Jack Morris a Hall of Famer? Probably. It's probably his time to go in.
Well,
sorry, Doug.
I mean, I'm just I've already mentally prepared for the, you know, the crushing defeat of Barry Bonds not making it into the Hall of Fame again, which the stats. Throw the stats out of the book. You throw him out of the book if you're not going to make him a first ballot Hall of Famer. Seriously. Same thing with Roger Clemens. We're really doing a disservice to baseball to have these guys in the record books, and then they can't be a first ballot Hall of Famer. It's absolutely ridiculous. But let me run down my list of these are the guys that are on the ballot this year. It's a pretty standout ballot. Alou, Bagwell, Benitez, Biggio, Bonds, Sean Casey, Clemens, Ray Durham, Eric Gagne, Tom Glavine, Luis Gonzalez, Jack Jones. Todd Jones, Jeff Kent, Paul Aduca, Greg Maddux, Edgar Martinez, Don Mattingly, who's, you know, on there for a while, Fred McGriff, Mark McGuire, Jack Morris, Mike Mussina, Hideo Nomo, Palmeiro, Piazza, Reigns, Kenny Rogers, Kurt Schilling, Richie Sexsmith, Lee Smith, JT Snow, Sammy Sosa, Frank Thomas, Mike Timlin, Alan Trammell, and Larry Walker.
Was that the Hall of Fame ballot, or was that the 1997 All-Star? Like collecting.
I know. There's guys that won't ever make it. I can't believe Ray Durham's even in consideration. I mean, we've seen that guy play over here in the Bay Area. Ray Durham will not make it to the Hall of Fame.
Todd Zeal on that? Is Todd Zeal? Is he on there? Remember Todd Zeal?
Ryan, who do you think's getting in this year? Have you looked at this ballot or seen any of the guys up
there?
No.
To me, these idiot writers, these writers, they literally count retweets on Twitter like it's money to me. Like, these guys are – and they're so – they speak so, like, uptight about baseball. It just annoys the crap out. I mean, I don't know. I have actually respect for Barry Bonds because – if he wanted to get into the Hall of Fame, he could call every single writer, send them a big gift basket, start doing interviews, be nice to these guys. But Barry Bonds says, you know what, I didn't need you when I was playing, and I don't need you now. So forget you. If you want to vote me in, that's fine. I think everybody knows he took steroids at this point. I think everybody else, you know, knows that too, and a bunch of guys did. I would have taken steroids too. So if people are moral enough to say that they wouldn't have taken steroids if they were on the cusp of an $80 million contract or whatever it was, you know, and when everybody else was doing it too, that's fine. You know, you have more morals than I do. So the whole process and these writers, oh, my God. Like, I just, you know, it speaks to, I don't know, it just speaks to a lot of things. I don't know why there's so much merit to it. When I saw Barry Bonds play, he was the greatest player I ever saw, period, to this day. And I don't know if I hadn't seen anybody even close to him, to be honest. I've never seen anybody even as close to, with juice, without juice, whatever you want to call it. Nobody's even close to him. So that's all I really need to see. Clemens was great, too. I mean, with juice, without juice. I think of those Cy Youngs he won in the 80s. He probably wasn't on steroids, so, you know, I don't know. I don't really get it. These writers would take steroids too, if it inflated their bank account or their Twitter followers or whatever it is. These guys would take it too. So, you know, I think it's a joke, but I think we all know how good Barry Bonds was.
Yeah, I mean, most of you guys know these stats, but it's just, like, ridiculous stats. 14-time All-Star, 8-time Gold Glove Award winner, 12-time Silver Slugger, 7-time NL MVP, and the only person to do it back-to-back twice, or back-to-back and win it 3 years in a row, 2001, 2002, 2003. The career leader in home runs for a career, and the career 73 home runs in a season. People barely hit 50 now. I mean, you can say, yeah, he was on the juice. And the most career intentional walks, and the most career walks, so he wasn't even getting anything to hit. It's just like these numbers are just ridiculous. And then you flip over to Roger Clemens. I mean, the seven Cy Youngs. I mean, how hard is it to win frickin' Cy Young? And he won seven of them. And he was an 11-time All-Star, and he's got 350 wins. And his ERA is 3.1 as a career. And 4,600 strikeouts. You're just doing a disservice to baseball to not even have these guys in the Hall of Fame first ballot. It's ridiculous. So
my issue is that the baseball writers are the guys who also vote for the MVP.
Yes.
Well, it's the same guys who are like voting to keep Bonds out of the Hall of Fame are the same guys who gave him seven MVPs. Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah, what were you watching then?
Like what was different back then than you know right now? Okay. Are you telling me that you did not think he was on steroids back in like 2004, 2005? I mean, they all knew it. I don't know. What did they see back then that they can't deal with now?
Right.
Because all those awards that you named most of them are based on the baseball writers who vote for those awards. But
you know,
my issue with Bonds,
it's going to be sad that Mark McGwire is probably going to make the Hall of Fame before Barry Bonds, because
Mark McGwire will not make the Hall of Fame. Mark McGwire will not. He won't. Mark McGwire was. He was a good ball player, but. He was like the steroid era of like Adam Dunn. He was like he was like a one trick pony.
He was kind of.
Yeah, I just, you know, but it wouldn't surprise me if he got voted in before Bonds, because they obviously have accepted him. He's back working for the MLB, and no one even says anything about Bonds being out there. I mean, McGwire being out there as like a hitting coach and stuff like that. So.
If Bonds wanted a job in Major League Baseball, he can probably get one.
Possibly.
If Bonds wanted to be a special assistant to the Giants, like Will Clark is, the Giants would probably hire him. Especially if he came out and said, "I'm sorry, I took steroids. I'm a bad person." I can guarantee you, like, the next 2 months, he would have a job with the Giants.
Yeah, well,
and a statue, and like his number retired, and I mean, all he would have to do is just apologize for doing it, but he shouldn't, because he made baseball really entertaining. That guy, like, went a couple of years where he would see one strike, not a pitch, just one strike a game. In the zone, and he would hit it 450 feet.
Yep. And
like,
he got walked with the
baseball. What other hitter goes up there and knows, man, I'm pretty much only going to see one ball in the strike zone this whole game, and I can't foul it off. I got to hit it 450 feet, and that's what he did.
Yeah. And it's insane. That whole run, I walked intentionally with the bases loaded, is insane. And I still go back to the fact, I don't know if I've talked about this on the show, but I'm pretty adamant to people that are, you know, steroids, Bonds, and stuff like that. Let's just run by this scenario, and I apologize if I'm rehashing something that's old. But if you're a millionaire athlete, and you're as high profile as Barry Bonds, and you're hiring a personal trainer for $500,000 a year, or however much money this trainer was making that gave him the steroid, are you going to literally ask him what is in everything he's giving you to help you rehab or help you work out? So he may have not known that he did steroids. I mean, he probably did, but it's just, he took what they gave him and he knew it was going to help him work out. And he didn't question a guy he's paying $500,000 a year that what he's taking. That's, no one believes that side of the story. Maybe I'm a little out there with that story, but I could easily see it. I don't question my tax person. So I go to her and go,
but there was one year where, like, I remember during the off season they were saying that, like, oh, Bonds is, like, working out. He's working out. He's putting on more muscle. Because before that, Bonds had the build of, like, Otis Nixon.
Yeah.
And then he came back and he had, like, he was like the Incredible Hulk. Like, I mean, there had to be something going on. You don't put on like 60 or 70 pounds of muscle mass in like 3 months.
It just doesn't happen.
He was getting older
and he's not going to be a base stealer or a freaking prowess in the outfield anymore. You don't think that's a possibility that he just realized he was getting older and he used to bulk up to keep his career going?
He went from not naturally to go a buck 80 to like 260. Like I think it's pretty obvious at this point that he did take steroids. But the fact of the matter, he was the best player before steroids and he was the best player while taking steroids when everybody else was taking steroids.
Right.
Because I think at the end of the day, Bonds took steroids because everybody else took steroids.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
I think he just looked at it and he's like, am I going to just let everybody pass me by at the end of my career? Or am I just going to take the same thing they're taking and I'm just going to make it equal? Because, I mean, there's no way that, like Jay Bell should be hitting more home runs than Barry Bonds.
Right.
Right.
But what people forget about steroids is, I used to work out. I know it's hard to believe. You see me in person sometimes. It's hard to believe that I used to work out. I used to be a hardcore worker. I used to work out. I didn't use steroids. But what steroids does is instead of, bench pressing, 400 pounds one day, you have to wait 3 days if you don't take steroids. If you take steroids, you recover faster and you can lift again. So he still had to put in the work to get bigger. He just was able to do it at a faster pace. So if he didn't,
you could
shoot me in the arm with some steroids and all of a sudden I'm freaking, Arnold Schwarzenegger in his heyday. That doesn't happen.
You're telling me you can't, like, shoot up with steroids and just pick your car up and throw it?
You could try.
Like, completely, I just don't understand steroids. No, I mean, I get it. Like, he still had to work out. It wasn't like you just do it and you're like, I'm just gaining muscle mass by sitting here eating cheeseburgers and drinking shakes. Probably, probably not the way it goes down.
No.
Could be coconut water.
I got to start drinking some coconut water. Well, let's get back to the topic of the hobby. I do want to give away a $30 Mojo Bright gift card for anybody that does call in. I want to hear your opinion. I don't want to hear about Bonds. I mean, we're talking about them. But let's hear what your opinion was on products that were good and what products were bad this year, since we're on the topic of 2013 products. Call in, and I want to hear one good product and one bad product. Call in at 347-855-8815. And you'll get a gift certificate for, you can spend it on anything in the store at mojobreak.com, 347-855-8815. And we'll give away a sweet gift card. So, but, man, hear about 2014 archives. They're going to have Major League, the movie, autos. Pretty cool.
Oh, the Wild Thing?
They didn't show him, but they showed, like, what's the guy, Peter Dorn? He's in there, and they showed, like, two pictures of two guys. It's just still – I don't know if they've got Charlie Sheen, but they definitely have two or three of the guys from the movie Major League in the set.
You can't have the Major League set and not have the Wild Thing. I mean, I mean, they made like three or four of them, didn't they? So like, in the original, it was Wesley Snipes, and then later on, it became like Omar Epps, right?
Right.
So you're going to have Omar Epps, or you're going to have Wesley Snipes?
They so far have previewed Roger Dorn and Jake Taylor. So you got the catcher, you know, Jake Taylor.
And the third baseman?
Tom Berringer and Roger Dorn is the two they've previewed so far. So the 1989 Cleveland Indians. So it's going to be like the 1989 top set, and they're going to be signed on card.
So okay,
cool.
So it'll probably be everybody from the first movie.
Yeah,
so
they're saying it'd be pretty cool to have a wild card, Wild Thing Bond card, but it doesn't confirm. They may be trying to work out that deal. I mean, Charlie Sheen is, I don't know, might not be available.
Right. In between porn stars and hanging out at his house, I don't know if he's going to be signing for Top. Hopefully, that'd be great. That'd be awesome. He's signed autographs before, so. I've seen his autograph on jerseys and stuff like that, so I don't know if he's ever signed for Topps or anything, but it'd be pretty cool. Like I said, how can you have a major league without Charlie Sheen? That doesn't seem right.
Yeah,
that is a cool subset, though. I mean, aren't they still trying to get the redemptions from like the heavy metal redemptions that they did? Like, isn't are they still trying to get Axl Rose? I'm like,
yeah.
There's yeah, good luck with that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
One story that I heard about the Axl Rose. Now they give this excuse a lot. They and Pop give this excuse a lot. Is that they printed the cards and Axl Rose didn't like the picture, and so they had to reprint the cards again. Thus, the delay on the signature Axl Rose card. So that is not a
The Tommy Lee is also a redemption too.
I haven't heard as much about the Lee. I don't know if that's why.
Axl Rose is also in Ginter as a redemption too. So they got two sets they got to fill him in. I just did a search on eBay. Let's see if Tommy Lee was in there. Let's see if any of those are live. Yeah, I know he was a redemption to start off with, but. Doesn't look like it. Nope, they're live. They're live. They must
Sweet.
Have been filled. So Tommy Lee's live on there.
What's Tommy Lee selling for?
Yeah.
$45, $50.
Ooh, good deal.
Yeah,
that seems like a good deal, actually.
Not a lot of Tommy Lee autos out there.
No, yeah. Not at all. So that's pretty cool. Look forward to that when it comes out. Archives is always a fun little set. So I think the first year was a little bit better. So hopefully with this, subset, this year will be better. But I did want to give some props to Leaf and just their products in general. We didn't really talk about it in the review segment, but they've been really killing it on value, man. I mean, Memories, Trinity, frickin' Leaf Metal, Legends of Sport Heroes has been fantastic. They've really have mastered like the small case print run on products and just have been killing it. And some of these bigger guys need to look at what Leaf's doing and I don't know necessarily copy them, but do something to add value like what Leaf's doing. And their redemption process is fantastic. We don't talk about Leaf too much, but we've been buying a lot more Leaf stuff. People are doing personal boxes of them. We've been doing breaks with them. And really not a bad product that we've had that we've been like, oh, man, this was terrible. Just the last 10 or so releases have been great.
Well, you should talk about their redemption process, like when you actually go online to type in your code and redeem your redemption. I don't know if a lot of people know what takes place.
Yeah, it's pretty freaking cool, man. It's like a little – you could skip past it if you don't want to watch it, but it's like this little thing pops up, and it's like a little tiny video, and a pack comes out, and a pack opens up, and it shows you a picture of the item or the card, the exact same thing that you're getting. And so it's like the thrill of opening a pack again. Even though you just opened the product, you have that extra experience. And I'll tell you what, I mean, the redemptions that we got from Memories and stuff like that came, like, within a week, like, quick. We got them right away. And that's unparalleled. I know it's probably a little easier to manage when they're a smaller company. But and they also, what I heard, and I haven't seen this, but they also, I've heard they have a patch database. This was, I rewatched the Summit video from last year, and they have a patch database of every card that has a patch on it, so that if you ever questioned the card that you bought on eBay, like if somebody pulled out the patch and put a different patch in there, you can go and look at the original picture of the card on their site.
Wow.
So there's really no counter. You can't counterfeit a Leaf card that has a patch in it anymore. I mean, you know, something that these other guys need to do, because there's a lot of this going along, whether we realize it or we don't. I was trying to list my Derek Jeter. I had a Derek Jeter. I'll tell you that. I had a Derek Jeter numbered to 150 out of Marquee. Now, mine was gray patch, gray patch, gray patch, all single color, and a little white patch down at the bottom, right? So it was all single-colored patch. The card was numbered to 50. Well, I was just looking at sales, and there was a card numbered to 150 that had, like, Yankee logos in every four windows on the card. No way that that was real. And it sold for, like, $100-something dollars.
Yep.
Because the guy bought a freaking, he bought a fake Yankees jersey or whatever and cut the card out and put it in the thing, and we didn't, no one ever knew it. So,
or he bought an older card and just pulled the jersey out of it, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be hard to have a fake jersey and then just start cutting it up and trying to put that into a card. I don't know. Never really thought about doing it. I don't know how difficult it would be.
You could actually look at it on eBay. It's numbered to $199. It sold for, it was up there for $400, and somebody took a best offer on it, and it's there's like an American patch on one side and two colors of a Yankees logo on the other side. It's just, it's ridiculous.
Tom doesn't make cards that nice, like, you know.
Right.
It's definitely fake.
Yeah. And it happens a lot, I mean, in this industry, unfortunately, and a lot of people don't notice it, and then the cards resell and stuff like that. So it's just
– it probably – I can see it happening a lot on RPAs from, like, National Treasures, because you can, like – I mean, you can buy, like a Michael Agnew from, like, Finest or whatever and have, like, those or Platinum and have those ridiculous patches in it and pull that out and throw it in, like, a Tannehill card.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's the common practice. I think that's what people do most of the time. They buy, like, a cheaper player, pull the patch out, and then throw that patch into a, like, a high-end card with a better player, same team. Like, I mean, you could do that with tons of Colts players. You can do that with you can buy, like, a Dwayne Allen or a Fleener and put it in, like, a Luck.
But how do you do it without damaging the card? I mean, I wouldn't even know where to start. I mean, I see all these cards. I mean, I don't even know how you would do it.
You take some Scotch tape, and you just go ahead and tape the patch over the card. Never know the difference.
We should try that. I'm gonna go through and try that and put it on eBay as a joke. Just like tape it. You can see the scotch tape and all, just, you know, freaking, you know, sitting on the top of the card. Oh, it's real. It's five color patch.
Dude, it's got bonus patch underneath.
Yeah. Wow. So Ryan, when's your buyback product coming out, man? Are you still? Are you close? 50% done or?
We got to keep that top secret, because I want to exclusively drop that announcement, big kind of event. So, you know what? What we're going to have to do is we're going to have an hour and a half long show just on my buyback product. So, you know, we definitely. On a serious note, though, you know what I didn't realize was that you guys played actually the playback of this show, like kind of in between when you're doing some breaks, which can be, you know, sometimes I can be a little like loose with the tongue a little bit. So one of my, I've already said porn stars too, so that, I think that was probably the worst word I think I said on this episode. So I was waiting for you guys to do a break, and I was like, oh my God, like, wow, I really need to tighten it up. So one of my resolutions is on the podcast is to tighten it up a little bit. We're going to filter out all the, you know, kind of anything over rated R words. So for the year, what are your guys', you know, we should actually talk about what are your guys' either resolution for the hobby or for the show or whatever. Do you guys think about that or have thought about mojo break resolutions or anything like that?
That's a good one, man. You want to start? You want to take that one, Dan?
No, you got that one. well, resolution. I mean, I guess at least with Mojo Break, just try to always try to work out the kinks, and just try to make it a better experience for the end user. And I know we're working on like the auction portion of the site right now, and that's kind of been our new deal, and we're trying to work out kinks with that. As for the show, I'd like to try to keep it as much positive, as a little bit more positive than we have been. But again, I also don't want to do anything that's gonna filter what we're trying to say. If it's gonna be negative, I'd rather just get it out there and just say it than hold it back and kind of just sugarcoat everything, because I don't think that helps anybody out. So, yeah, I don't know. That's pretty much my two cents on that. What do you think, Doug?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I want to try to do more trade. I want to do, like, I want to get involved with everybody, like, to have trade nights. I think that's a part of this hobby that's kind of overlooked. I mean, they're called trading cards, right? There's not a whole lot of trading going on, and it's really surprising to me that in this industry there's really not a site that does trading. Maybe there's no money in it for the site developer, but you know, I want to be able to maybe incorporate Google Hangouts or something, maybe where we're the third party officiate. Like, if you want to trade, you don't trust somebody, you can have them send the cards to us first. Just kind of do a service, because I mean, a lot of people get in random breaks and stuff, and they, you know, get this sick card, but it's maybe not the team they collect. So I want to try to maybe figure out a good way to do some trade nights. And I want to get back a little bit more. I mean, I know this sounds like I'm, you know, trying to be Santa Claus here or something, but I want to try to get back more this year for people and, you know, not be so focused on, I mean, I don't know. It's tough. I want to just improve everything. I just not enough time in the day. I want to improve the overall experience. I think our excitement level is always there. I'm always excited to do this, and I hope that passion shows through. So it's just fine-tuning the other little things in this, like, you know, better assortments of products, better options, different options. So, yeah, that would be it. But I definitely want to get something going for a trade night. And Trevor's right. The forum on the site does need to, you know, we could use that for trading, or, you know, the forum's on there now, but it kind of sucks, and we don't use it. Only thing we use it for is listing randoms. But I want to get maybe involved with that, where maybe people can sell their own cards on our site and stuff like that. So that's a goal too.
And of course, keeping it real.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real.
Well, any other resolutions for you, Ryan?
Resolutions? No, not really. Probably go on vacation more in 2014. I was already looking at twice to go to actually a card show at the end of it's a coin and card show in Long Beach, California. At the end of the month, I thought about going. I have some free time now. You know, usually around this time, I'm thinking about going to Vegas and stuff. But, you know, my calendar, like, freed up, which is actually, I look at that as a positive thing. So, you know, there's spring training coming up, which I'm always very, I love Arizona. I encourage anybody who likes baseball to either go to spring training or even better, go to the Arizona Fall League. I mean, that is absolutely heaven on earth. So my resolution would be to see more baseball card people in October at the Arizona Fall League, because I think there's some things you can get out of it there, and it's lovely, and you get to see Tyler Buxton struck out four times. I mean, the one and only time I saw him. Just amazing what Baseball America, and they do to hype these prospects. So I almost want to not know rankings when I go to games. Like, I literally don't want to know any player and just watch them play. So I don't know. I really enjoy baseball, so I'm looking forward to that. So, yeah, resolutions, times, you know, wide open. Hopefully watch some more Mojo breaks online. Hopefully people get good stuff. And I should open my Tide wallet one day and actually join a couple. That's actually what I should do. But it's entertaining to watch, to be honest. So that's about it. Vacations, baseball, and watch some breaks and see what these cards are all about.
I definitely second the spring training. Spring training is amazing. If you've never been, greatest place ever. And I think Ryan would agree to this. The scenery is not that bad either. There's some talent. There's some talent in Arizona. Just saying. On the field and off.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Just saying.
Yeah. I hear you. Sadly, I won't be able to make it to spring training this year, but, you know, I'll try to watch more baseball games, try to get some San Jose Giants games. And if you guys do go out there, Brian, I want to see some videos, man. I want to see some videos of you. That's another thing. I got to get back into my – I feel like I'm out of the loop for prospect. I used to be such a big prospect guy, and it's like I kind of fell off last year. And some of these guys coming out, I'm like, who the hell are these guys? You know, it's something I want to get back into.
Yeah, can't wait. We only got a couple months here before spring training and pitchers and catchers and all that good stuff. So that's
right around the corner.
It's so nice out here. But I keep hearing about how it's 30 below zero here and there. I mean, it's like 65 degrees here. It's sunny. I haven't seen rain in Lord knows when, since I was in Seattle probably. So, I mean, they could just start playing baseball right now.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously. Well, yeah. And, I should write some New Year's resolution. I actually tried to go to the gym. I'm going to try to go twice this week. I went yesterday, but then I woke up today and I was like, you know what, I got a lot of stuff to do at the office. So, but going to the gym, I shoot some hoops. I'm actually a pretty good basketball player, so I've been trying to get back into that. And, you know, but I can't find myself running on the treadmill. It's so goddamn boring, even with a TV in front of me. My gym has a freaking TV at every, you know, like elliptical and every. I just can't do it long enough. I just get so bored. It's like, all right, I got to get to the office. So I want to do that more, but you know, it's tough. It's tough when you go home and you shove, you know, cheeseburgers down your face. You got to kind of work on that end of it too, because then working out doesn't really make a lot of sense. So.
Have you ever noticed that you're sitting on the if you're like basically sitting on the treadmill and running on the treadmill? You don't want to sit on the treadmill, but if you're running on the treadmill and you look up, it's always like the Food Network. Like, what are they trying to tell you? Like,
yeah,
you're like I'm sitting here like I'm running, and you're like looking up. And you're like, damn, that pie looks good. I think I'm gonna go get a pie after this. Like, I don't get it.
Seriously,
it's always the Food Network.
It always is. You know what? I forgot we have somebody on hold that's going to win a gift card, so I got to bring them on. I just
wait here.
Bring them on.
Bring them on.
305, what's going on?
Happy New Year, guys.
What's up?
Happy New Year.
My product of the year would probably be Top Soccer, but you guys really don't want to hear about that. It has great resale value. So I'll go with something more mainstream, which is Panini Intrigue, which is, for a bargain hunter like myself, yeah, it's a step down from Immaculate and stuff like that, but you could get, like, probably six of those boxes or, like, 10 of those boxes for the price of an Immaculate box. So it's great,
oh,
and it's all the same for me.
Definitely.
Could get some
LeBron
flashes.
What do you see in What are you seeing with soccer that you like? Because we, you know, we almost pulled the trigger on doing a break on that, but it kind of just got lost in the releases, and we never did it. I mean, what are you seeing that
you guys? You guys have the formula pegged. You keep the supply low and the demand high. So they didn't print a lot of it, and so yeah, it is $200, but the base cards themselves are $20 cards.
Wow.
And yeah, there are only four players per team, but it cuts out the riffraff, and even the shitty teams have a few good players, so that people want to collect.
Pele's in there too, right? And it's either Pele or Ronaldo per case or something like
that.
Yeah,
it wasn't even an English Premier League set. They added Ronaldo, Gareth Bale, Pele. So if someone, I don't know, Panini would have a gold mine if they got the rights, or even Brian Gray with Leaf, they would have enough creative marketing that they could put together a really solid set without getting jacked on licensing fees.
Got it. Yeah.
That's a good point. I mean, that's a big market that is essentially wide open right now. So,
I mean, they could even put together, I mean, not to be bigoted or whatever, they could put together a Mexican league or even just a Latin American-related release, and people would just eat it up.
Yeah, I agree.
Places like Miami, Dallas, San Diego, all over the Midwest, Southwest.
Go ahead. Now, I was going to say, I'm like, does anybody have the MLS license, or is that MLS cards out there?
No, Topps pulled one out, but it was like a lead balloon. It just sucked.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but. And so for my negative, you guys have turned me into card snob, so I would have to go with Topeachy Hockey. Looks like 86 Topps and just like complete crap. And I don't know, just totally unfinished. I thought we'd moved beyond that at this point. Even Panini Hoops has a glossy finish to it.
Right.
Yeah.
So why would you want to buy something low-end where you could buy, I don't know what the middle-of-the-road upper deck hockey is, but just spend the extra $5 and get something a lot better.
I agree completely. All right, Trevor, well, always a pleasure, man. Thank you for the continued support, and we'll get you that gift card hopefully in a more timely manner this time. And
it was great. People are like, you're not going to get Shane Larkin. Well, it's all gravy to me. That's where the trade night comes in. When I get someone like the Lions or the Mavericks or whatever, someone will like that. So hopefully we could get the stuff in the hands of people that actually like these things.
That's what it's about.
You know, what am I going to sell, like $5 cards on eBay when I could just give them to someone that would really like them?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what we need to do.
That's what it's about.
For sure, man. Well, thanks again, man, and we'll see you in the chat. And always a pleasure, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good night, man.
Sweet.
Well, that pretty much wraps up the show. I mean, we've got like 5 minutes left. I don't think there's really much else to talk about. Always check out Sports Card Radio. Always amazing articles. It's like you guys should be journalists over there because, I mean, I can't even fathom writing an article because I suck with, punctuation and stuff. So check out the site. We got some breaks going on tomorrow. Prism Jumbo is coming out. We got 3 case breaks of it. It should be pretty good with the numbered inserts, the added inserts, the 4 autos per box. And then Panini's Pastime Baseball is going to be an interesting one, which actually releases on Thursday. So it's got some NT stuff in it, and it's kind of more towards the high end. So let's see if Panini can perform on this one and make us remember how well National Treasures was and make us forget about Prism. So check that out on our site, mojobreaks.com. And that's pretty much it. You guys have anything else to say?
Well, we may be doing this show, at least Ryan and myself may be doing this show remote from Canada next week.
Right.
Yep. Picking up that titanium hockey.
Yep.
Smuggling it over the border.
Yep.
So just letting you know.
Nice.
And
well,
we probably should talk a little preview of the industry summit, maybe go, because we kind of a lot of things I want to talk about, but kind of running out of time,
sure,
I guess.
I'm sure we do. I think that the freedom of speech topic may come up a time or two. So we'll leave you hanging on that one for now and maybe make you wonder. But I'm sure you could see stuff on Twitter. So check that out. Maybe as it gets closer, we'll let you guys know our plans, I guess, and we'll discuss what's going down there. And Ryan, anything else to say before we end the show?
I've been watching British Premier Soccer, and it's like coconut water. It's a lot better than you think it would be. It's actually, I can't wait for NBC this weekend to watch some more games. This kid Suarez had like 3 goals, and then he almost had like a 4th. I mean, I don't know how he does it, but these guys are not as boring. If people out there think soccer is boring, we just brought the Trevor brought up the soccer set, so soccer's not boring, trust me. So it's actually very exciting. Yeah,
I've been watching some. I've been watching some 10-year-old. I've been watching my wife's little brother. That's not like I was a pervert. My wife's little brother plays 11-year-old competitive soccer team, and holy crap, is that it? It's like almost being like at a freaking Niner game, man. That's exciting. So that's a New Year's resolution. Watch more soccer.
There we go.
Well, the World Cup's right around the corner, so that's going to be awesome. And then also don't forget the Olympics are right around the corner too. And they just announced the hockey teams, and we got a couple Sharks players who are going. We got Marlo and Vlasic playing for the Canadian team, and Pavelski playing for the U.S. team. Get stoked on that.
Definitely. All right. Well, I think that pretty much freaking sums it up. I might be trying to get some Topps soccer now and getting it in the store. But we'll catch you guys next week, and that's it. See ya.
All right. Later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Sports Card Live, sponsored by SportsCardRadio.com. MojoBreak.com. Check us out every Tuesday live at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, or download us on iTunes.